हर हर शंकर सांब सदाशिव ईशा महेशा।
Here Hara comes twice in the first line. It is a name often used for Lord Shiva and it means he who destroys. According to ancient Indian culture and spirituality, Lord Shiva is the one responsible for the dissolution of the universe, and that is one of the reasons why he bears the name Hara. But the deeper significance is that Lord Shiva is the one who wipes out all our bestial tendencies. The third word is Shankara, derived from Sham meaning good and Kara means to cause. Shankara therefore means he who confers all goodness and auspiciousness. Another meaning is that Shanka means doubt and Hara means to destroy. Therefore, Shankara also is one who dispels our doubts and confers on us wisdom. Bhagwan has on many instances stressed that the word Shri is never added as a prefix for any of Lord Shiva's names. During the Shivaratri discourse of 1973, Bhagwan explained the meaning of the name Shiva and said, Shiva means all graciousness, ever auspiciousness, Sarva Mangalam. That is the reason why the epithet Shri, which indicates these qualities, is not added to the name Shiva or Shankara or Ishvara, Baba said. It is added to the number of avatars, divine incarnations, because they have taken on perishable bodies for a specific purpose. They have to be distinguished from other humans by this epithet Shri. But Shiva is eternally gracious and auspicious, and therefore, Baba explained, this epithet Shri for Shiva is superfluous. There is an interesting incident which occurred on 31st August 2009 in the Sai Kulwant Hall during Onam celebrations. The Balvikas children from the state of Kerala that day presented a dance drama on the life of Saint Adi Shankara. A big backdrop for the drama had been placed in the marble block. As Bhagwan came for darshan, all the children were seated in front of the screen. Swami completed the darshan rounds and arrived on the stage, and he then called for the state president of Kerala Satya Sai organizations and inquired about the details of the drama. Meanwhile, three kids in costumes came up to Bhagwan. Swami was so happy to see them. Bhagwan asked them about the drama and each explained separately to him, and one of them said, Swami, the drama is Shankara Digvijayam. Swami's eyes seemed to light up, and then he called the state president again and told him to make an announcement about the drama. And the state president went to the podium and he announced the name of the drama as Shri Shankara Digvijayam. And Swami immediately corrected him and said, it is not Shri Shankara Digvijayam, it is Shankara Digvijayam. And Swami told him, announce one more time. So the correction was made and only then the drama began. Saint Adi Shankara was considered an aspect of Lord Shiva himself, and that is perhaps the reason why Bhagwan made this correction. So that explains the profound meaning of this word Shankara. Let's move on. The fourth word is Samba, coming from Sa meaning divine and Amba means mother. The fifth word is Sadashiva, coming from Sada, which means always, and Shiva, which as seen earlier means auspiciousness. Sadashiva means one who is eternally auspicious. In February 1983, Bhagwan stated, Sa Amba Sadashiva represent the union of the Universal Divine Mother and the Universal Divine Father who are eternally auspicious. That is the union of Shiva and Shakti. The world may change, but the Shiva principle is unchanging. And then Bhagwan went on to add, the same union of the Universal Divine Mother and Father is represented by the name and form of Sai Baba. The sixth word in this bhajan is Isha, which is a name used to adore Lord Shiva. The seventh word is Mahesha, which can be split into Maha, meaning greatest, and Isha, which means master. Bhagwan says that the term Isha means Sakala Aishwarya Sampanna, or the one who is the master of all types of wealth. He adds that Aishwarya includes not only all kinds of property, but also strength, knowledge, skill, intelligence, and prosperity. Therefore, Isha is the master of all such gifts. So in this line, Hara Hara Shankara Samba Sadashiva Isha Mahesha, we adore the Lord who destroys all our negative qualities, the one who eternally bestows auspiciousness and goodness, the one who removes all our doubts, be it worldly or spiritual, the Supreme Lord of Lords, the master of all types of wealth, strength, knowledge, skill, intelligence, and prosperity. Let's move on to the next line.
ತಾಂಡವ ಪ್ರಿಯಕರ ಚಂದ್ರಕಲಾಧರ ಈಶಾ ಮಹೇಶ.
The first word is ತಾಂಡವ, which means dance. Second word is ಪ್ರಿಯಕರ. ಪ್ರಿಯಾ means to love, ಕರಾ means to do. ತಾಂಡವ ಪ್ರಿಯಕರ means he who loves to dance. We all have seen how Bhagwan used to play the talam, cymbals, physically with his own hands many times during bhajan sessions, especially in the early years of his avatarhood. He indeed is the one maintaining the rhythm of this cosmos. There is this beautiful experience narrated by Brother Sonam, a very senior alumnus from Bhagwan's college, a gifted musician and composer of several beautiful Sai bhajans. He says, "One day I was late for bhajan and so I sat in the portico. A bhajan that was set to the 6th beat was going on, Ananda Sagara Muralidhara. And as Swami was giving darshan on the lady's side, I was all the time observing Swami very closely. When he was walking, some ladies rushed to touch his feet. And unfortunately, by a stroke of bad luck, one of them had a long nail and that actually pierced Bhagwan's lotus feet and tore open his delicate flesh and some blood started oozing out. But Bhagwan, with casualness and simplicity, he just took two steps forward and two steps backward as if nothing had happened. And when he did this, I was observing him so closely, and I can really replay this in slow motion in my mind even now. The steps forward and backward were in keeping with the beat of the bhajan. He was so in sync with the beat. And then the next bhajan started, and this was now in 10 beats. And Swami's entire pattern of walking now changed to 10 beats. In spite of being hurt, he continued to walk. I didn't even see blood oozing out after that. A wound was definitely there because there was such a big hue and cry, but Swami slowly walked as if it did not bother him at all and continued the darshan, coming towards now the men's side. And throughout the bhajan, as he was walking, his walk was in 10 beats. Sonam adds, "That is not my imagination, because the bhajan went on for almost 3-4 minutes, and after that again an 8-beat bhajan started. And my experience that day was, Swami, you are Nada Brahmam. You are the source of all the nada, all the sound, the source of all the music, all the melody and all the rhythm." He says, "I could feel this in my guts and in my soul that day. That was simply amazing." So that is Tandava Priyakara. Coming now to the third word, Chandra Kaladhara. This comes from Chandra, meaning moon. Kala refers to a part or a portion or a section. Dhara means to wear. Lord Shiva reduced the moon to the crescent of the 5th day, Panchami, and placed the crescent on his head. And so he is called Chandra Kaladhara. Kala also means aspect. Bhagwan explains that the moon is the presiding deity of the mind. The act of Lord Shiva reducing the moon implies diminution of the mind and desires. Bhagwan also adds that the head indicates intellect and wisdom. He says that the mind should be governed by one's intellect and wisdom and not by the vagaries of the mind and sensuous impulses. Thus, the crescent on Lord Shiva's head shows his full control over the mind. Another significance is that the moon is a measure of time, and therefore the crescent represents Lord Shiva's control over time. The moon indicates also coolness. It symbolizes the mind in a state of tranquility and purity. The Lord, through this, exhorts us to remain cool and composed at all times, for it is only then that we can use our intellect and wisdom effectively to handle the various challenges of life. So that is Chandra Kaladhara, and we have already discussed Isha and Mahesha. So in this line, Tandava Priyakara Chandra Kaladhara Isha Mahesha, we call out to the Lord who delights in setting all the universes into motion and maintains their perfect balance and rhythm, the one who bears the crescent moon on his head, the one who is the master of time, who is ever calm and serene. Let's move on to the third line.
Amba guha lambodara vandita Isha Mahesha.
The first word is Amba, referring to Mother Parvati, the divine consort of Lord Shiva. The second word is Guha, referring to Lord Subramanya, the younger son of Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati. The third word is Lambodara, referring to the pot-bellied Lord Ganesha, the elder son of the divine parents. Fourth word is Vandita, meaning worship. So in this line, Amba Guha Lambodara Vandita Isha Mahesha, we bow before the Supreme Lord Shiva, who is worshipped by Mother Parvati as well as Lord Subramanya and Lord Ganesha. Let's move on to the last line.
Tungahimachala Shringanivasita Isha Mahesha.
The first word here is Tunga, and this refers to the shrine of Tunganath, nestled in the Himalayas. In fact, it is the highest temple of Lord Shiva in the world, perched at an astounding elevation of 3,680 meters above sea level. Magnificent in its architecture and artistic structure, Tunganath is considered more than 1,000 years old, and mythologically it is associated with the sacred epic of Mahabharata. Legend has it that after the Mahabharata war, sage Vyasa told the Pandavas that they need to atone for killing their kith and kin in the war, and that their sins can be expiated if they worship Lord Shiva. And apparently Lord Shiva was very difficult to get. He was avoiding them, and in the process the Lord assumed the form of a bull and went underground. The places where parts of this bull were found are now renowned Shiva temples. So Tunganath is the place where his bahu or his hands were supposedly seen. Historically, Adi Shankara discovered this sacred temple, and literally this mountain Tunganath means Lord of the Peaks. Lord Shiva, they say, lives in the Himalayas, and this is one of the amazing peaks of the Himalayas. The second word is Himachala, coming from Hima, meaning snow, and Achala, meaning mountain, and it also means firm and unshakable. The third word is Shringa, which means peak or summit. Nivasita means residing in. We know that Mount Kailash is the peak of the Himalayas where Lord Shiva is believed to reside. Well, that is the literal meaning of the phrase Himachala Shringa Nivasita, but let's explore its inner significance. Snow is white and pure and melts easily. Achala means steady. Bhagwan enlightens us that a pure heart that is white like snow and which is steady which is unmoved by the ups and downs of life, that is the true residence of Lord Shiva. Baba also says that just as ice melts easily, our hearts too should melt with compassion on seeing the suffering of others. We must reach out to help them. There's another interesting interpretation. What is this summit inside our heart? It is obviously the depths of silence. So when we contemplate on the Lord deeply, we can realize Him and become one with Him. We are then virtually in Kailas and Tunganath, in the depths of silence, in the peaks of that tranquility. Therefore, Himachala Shringa Nivasita refers to the Lord whom we can visualize in the core of our beings. Moving on, Isha and Mahesha are the other two words in this line, and we already know their meaning. So in this last line, Tunga Himachala Shringa Nivasita Isha Mahesha, we adore the Lord who resides in our hearts which are pure and steady, the one whom we envisage in the depths of silence within our hearts is the Isha, the Mahesha. He is the master who teaches us to melt with compassion when we see the suffering of others. So that is, in brief, some explanation of this beautiful composition.